Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop reveals the biblical foundation of evil patterns and the need for believers to have a greater understanding. Be equipped and empowered with the strategic prayers and intercession needed to overcome every evil plan in your life. Know today that this is God's word of deliverance for you. Be empowered as you listen.
We began a journey which we probably stay on for some time. Wednesday, we've established to have our Bible studies so that people can get to understand Scripture for themselves, because one of the greatest challenges in the body of Christ today is that you are dealing with a very ignorant generation. We're dealing with a generation of people born again. They come to church, but they don't understand the Scriptures. They don't know the Scriptures. Jesus said, you err because you know not the Scriptures. Matthew 22:29. You err because you know not the Scriptures and the power of God. When you know the Scriptures, you will walk in the power of God. Without understanding of Scripture, you are in the dark. And the Bible said, my people are destroyed for the lack and rejection of knowledge. So it's one thing to have knowledge, is another thing to reject the knowledge. Rejecting knowledge is having knowledge and doing nothing about the knowledge you have. And so it's critical that we make sure that every believer in our churches across the nations are not just tongue speaking, going to church, Holy Ghost filled, but have understanding of Scripture for themselves. Because one of the reasons why we have a lot of issues when it comes to the challenges the prophetic is facing all over the nation is because a lot of believers don't know the Scriptures for themselves. When the devil confronted Jesus and engaged Jesus after his 40 days fast, he brought all kinds of situations to Jesus. And the Lord himself referred the devil to Scripture. And he kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. He didn't say to the devil, don't you know who I am? I'm anointed. He didn't refer to his anointing, his prophetic powers, his gifting, or how long he'd been in the Lord. He referred to Scripture and said, it is written. And the Bible said, and the devil left him for a season. If you know the word and the Scripture, whatever confronts you, you can refer it to the word. And there is a word of God for every condition of life and every attack from the adversary. God already has made provision and a weapon to dismantle it. But it's embedded in Scripture. And if you don't know the Scriptures, you err. You can't fight a good fight. And you never have 100% victory as a believer in this journey of life when you don't know Scripture. So it is necessary, if you want to know the Scriptures, to attend our Wednesday Bible studies for your own good. Because maintenance of ignorance of Scripture is advantage of the enemy over you. Yeah. He has advantage. It doesn't matter how long you've been born again, how gifted and anointed you are. If you don't know Scripture, the adversary has an advantage over you. So if you want to know the Scriptures for yourself, please attend our Wednesday Bible teachings, where we make time to break down Scripture and allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And then also we make time to ask questions and answers. And so that is Wednesdays, 7 to 9, 2 hours. Make time for that. Then Fridays, we are doing a deliverance school, where we are teaching on demons and how demons attack afflict, torment, torture, oppress believers. Because there's a notion and there is a misunderstanding because of lack of understanding. Whatever you see, misunderstanding is a lack of understanding. So a lot of believers believe that because you are born again, you are free from demons. It's not true. And so we are dealing with the subject of demonology in the light of Scripture or from Scripture perspective. Do they exist? What is the difference between demons and Satan and devils? Where did they come from? Why are they here? What is their main responsibility? Why do they afflict believers? And which part of the believer do they have authority to afflict? Can believers be possessed? No. Can believers be oppressed? Yes. Can a believer have a thorn in his flesh? Yes. Paul did. Can believers be tormented, afflicted, tortured? Yes. Can believers be sick? Yes. There are demons that can make you sick, can attack you. And all these things, we are teaching them in the Friday services from 7 to 9. So please make time to attend. Invest in the Word. Invest in the Word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek after shall be added to you. Don't spend your time in life chasing money, chasing for deals, breakthroughs. When God can give it to you through revelation and understanding of His Word. So please make time, because your success and longevity in life has everything to do with your understanding of the Most High and of the Scriptures which guides you and I in life. For thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So please call your friends, get on the phone, text them, tell them they should join a service already in motion. I want to continue on the subject of patterns. There are individual patterns, family patterns. There are patterns in businesses, companies, and nations have specific patterns. There are good patterns, and there are evil or negative patterns. But one of the things the enemy does is to desensitize you to accept an evil and a negative pattern as an okay situation. And I see a lot of people dealing with evil patterns, and they really don't care. They see it as one of those things. They live with it. They accept it. And I feel very sad. I'm even talking about men of God, prophets, prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists, bishops. They accept certain situations they shouldn't accept as one of those things. No. No. You don't have to. It can be cured. Jesus has made provision to cure and to deal and to repeal, to revoke and override any curse and any negative situation. And we stay on it till we see a change. We deal with it till the narrative changes. We don't give up. We don't relent till we see a change. Put your hands together if you believe that. Now, there have been a lot of questions out there about the African, the black man, the man and the woman of color. Whether we are cursed and what is really wrong with us. Did God curse Africa or bless us? I am of the belief and opinion that we are a continent blessed than any continent of the earth. It is proven and established that Africa is the richest continent in the world, and that we have over $20 trillion of minerals and natural resources embedded in our grounds, the land, in Africa, the richest continent than any continent in the world. Why are we impoverished? What is our problem? What is the problem of the black man? Some believe it's a leadership crisis. Some believe we need visionary leaders. I believe it. Some believe we need selfless leaders. And I do believe that also. However, I believe that we need more than visionary leaders. And we need more than selfless leaders. President Kufuor had mentioned something the other day to Rosa and said that one of the problems of Africa is not corruption. The main sickness and disease of Africa is the lack of love for country. Because you don't exploit what you love. You don't take advantage of the people you love and care about. And I believe that one of the reasons why we are impoverished as a people is not because we lack or we don't have. But we lack love and care for country. We don't love our country. We don't care about our country. I was in La Côte d'Ivoire the other day, and they put me in the villa of President Mobutu. Beautiful bedroom. You see the set of the bedroom, the sitting room, the bathroom, and everything with his picture there. Mobutu's villa. When he passed, he had over $4 billion in his Swiss account. Where did he get that money from? As president of a country. His casket was carried all across nations in Africa and even brought to Ghana. And the then president would not accept his body to be buried in Ghana. And the king of Morocco, God bless him, said, bring his body and bury him in Morocco. There come a time in all of our lives, ladies and gentlemen, when money fails. For those of you who think that money is everything, and for those of you who think power, influence, access, connection is everything, may I submit to you that you've been fooled and you've been deceived. If you only deal with people because of a position, because of power, because of access, money, influence that they have and command, something is wrong with you. You must deal with people as humans. You return people's call, not because of who they are, not because you need anything from them, but you return their call when you promise to call them back because they are human beings. Because they are made in the image of God. You respect people, not because of their position. And not because they are sitting pretty. And not because of who they know, the access they have, or the influence they command in society. But you respect them as human beings, as the image of God. And if you don't have that revelation, and you deal with people because of their connection, and money, and influence, and access, you are sick. And whatever makes you look down upon others will elude you. And I declare it by authority. Through the elements of creation. That whatever makes you despise others, look down on others. That makes you mishandle others, disrespect others. Until you can, and think you can do everything and get away with it. You are joking. Make no mistake. That very position and influence and access you have, it shall elude you one of these days and you become like everybody else. Then will you know that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. Put your hands together and give Him praise. Mekusala Salama Kasula. So Africa is the richest continent in our world. There's no reason why we should be impoverished. There's no reason why we should go to the IMF. Let me begin our journey by establishing some truths or facts about nations. Then we come to families, individuals, and certain patterns in biblical days. Ghana, since independence, have been to the IMF 18 times. 18 times. There are 37 highly indebted nations to the IMF in the entire world. And 31 of those nations are in Africa. 31 of those nations are African nations. 37 highly impoverished nations to the IMF, and 31 of those nations who owe the IMF are in Africa. And yet, we have all the resources, from gold to diamonds, oil, gas, name them, we have everything. And yet, we haven't mastered the ability to manage, improve, and give value to what we have. We are still begging and have still remained beggars since independence of our country. South Korea, 1997, went to the IMF to borrow money, paid it off. Today, South Korea has over $420 billion in their foreign reserves. Over $420 billion of US dollars in their foreign reserves. We had independence at the same time with South Korea. Some of these countries like Singapore, Malaysia, we had independence before them. And yet they've moved on and have become industrious nations and countries. Were we cursed? Didn't God put all these resources in our land? Why are we impoverished? Why are we suffering? Why do we lack the ability to manage, to improve, and to put value on what we have? Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire produces cocoa for the whole entire world than any other nation. Our soil is so good that it's able to produce cocoa for the nations of our world than any other country. And yet, the nations that take our cocoa beans, improve on it, put value on it, make more money than us who produce the beans. What is wrong? It is an error. It doesn't make sense. Something is not adding up. South Korea has 51 million people. Then, we want to look at Cambodia. Cambodia went to the IMF 2006 to borrow money. Since then, they have $22 billion in their foreign reserve with a population of 18 million people. Ghana owned the IMF 9 billion cedis. With all our oil, gas, gold, diamonds, we are still in debt. Since independence, both parties have proven not to be in the position to manage, improve, and give value to our resources for whatever reason. And yet we have brilliant leaders in this country. I had a board meeting yesterday with some of the members of the board of our school. And I was amazed at the level of brilliance. The level of brilliance we have in this country. The way the board meeting was managed masterfully. The kind of knowledge. And I sat there and I said, we have all these brains in this country. How come nothing seems to be working? For whatever reason, our people can leave the shores of Ghana and perform and do so well in other nations, and yet when they come to this country, nothing works. Nothing they do works. When you walk through the Sunset Road, most of the major shops you see on the Sprintex Road, right or left, are managed and owned by Indians and by the Lebanese. And we have Ghanaians working for them. And if a Ghanaian owns it, we will not even pay our own people well. We don't treat ourselves well. We have a self-hatred for ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, my assignment this morning is to create an awareness. Because there are so many of you hearing the sound of my voice, home and abroad, who just accept situation as it is, and circumstances, and they keep reoccurring, thinking that it is okay. It is not okay. Something is not adding up. There is an error. Something is wrong. And we need to begin to engage one another in a national debate. We want to look at certain families that dealt with certain negative patterns and families that dealt with positive patterns. Let's begin our journey. Mark Jews.
The Mark Jews family.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1700s, mm-hmm. two men started families.
Listen carefully.
Jonathan Edwards and Mark Jews.
Jonathan Edwards was a believer like you and I. Mark Jews was an unbeliever.
Mark Jews was not a Christian and lived an ungodly life.
Mm-hmm.
He married a woman of similar character.
You see, I say all the time that if you are sick, you end up attracting a sick man or a sick woman. You will attract what you are. For everything God created, ladies and gentlemen, produce after its own kind. So you can't be sick and be insane and be mad and attract a good man or a good woman. So before you seek to attract the opposite sex, whether you're a man or a woman, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get well and get healed and get better. Because you will attract what you are. Put your hands together and give God praise. He was ungodly. He was sick. He was mad. And he attracted a similar kind and type. Go ahead.
1,026 of his descendants were steadied.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Out of these, 300 died prematurely.
Patterns. Somebody say patterns. Talk to me. Say patterns. Go ahead.
67 died of syphilis.
Say patterns.
190 were public prostitutes.
Say patterns. Please talk to me. Talk to me. Say patterns. Go ahead.
100 were alcoholics.
Say patterns. Listen, I'm not a lecturer. I'm not a lecturer. I'm just trying to create an awareness so we can create a dialogue. We have to start talking. We have to question some things. This thing that the enemy has done to us, giving us an attitude of some kind of a passive-aggressive attitude, I don't care attitude, accepting things the way they are without questioning them is a form of a curse. There are so many people living under a curse, nations under a curse, communities and churches and families living under a curse, and they don't even know it because we've been programmed to think that it is okay. I'm telling you, a lot of things we think are okay are not okay. Somebody say, patterns. Can I hear you again? Say, patterns. Somebody scream it and say, patterns. Go ahead.
280 lived in abject poverty.
Somebody say, patterns. I can't hear you. Somebody say, patterns. Go ahead.
140 received government aid.
Somebody say, somebody say, pardon. Go ahead.
150 were criminals, of which 7 were murderers.
Somebody say,
incarcerating 150 of them cost the state more than $1.2 million.
Somebody say, let's look at the positive. Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards was a godly man and married a godly woman.
You see, he was a godly man and attracted a godly woman. So you will always end up marrying you. You will marry what you are. You will attract what you are. And if you are not attracting the good, it means that something is wrong with you. Because everything God created produced after its own kind. Go ahead.
729 of his descendants were studied.
Somebody say.
300 of them were ministers.
Somebody say.
65 were college professors.
Somebody say.
13 were university presidents.
Somebody say.
60 authored books.
Somebody say.
3 were congressmen.
Somebody say.
1 was the vice president of the United States.
Somebody say.
The family has not cost the government of the United States a single dollar.
Somebody say. Okay, let's look at another situation. We want to look at another pattern in a very prominent family that we all know of in our contemporary time. Let's go ahead. The Kennedy family. Okay, Bishop. Put it on the screen.
The Kennedy family. On the 12th of August 1944, while serving in the United States Navy during World War II, Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. was killed in a plane crash. Joseph Sr. and Rose's eldest child and President John F. Kennedy's brother was 29 years old.
Underline the word, he was 29 years old, killed in a plane crash. Somebody say, number two.
4 years later, Joseph Sr. and Rose lost another child, Kathleen Kennedy, also known as Kick Kennedy. She died in a plane crash on May the 13th, 1948, while on a flight from Paris to the French Riviera. She was 28 years old.
She was? Died in?
Plane crash.
Somebody say? Number three.
President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963. JFK was riding in a presidential motorcade alongside his wife, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, Texas Governor John Connally, and Connally's wife, Nellie, when Lee Harvey Oswald fatally shot him. The 35th President of the United States was 46 years old.
Somebody say, number four.
5 years later, on June the 5th.
How many years later?
5 years.
How many years later?
5 years.
Somebody say,
patterns. On June the 5th, 1968, JFK's brother Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated while on the presidential campaign trail. The former senator and attorney general was shot after giving a victory speech at Los Angeles Ambassador Hotel after winning the California primary. He was 42 years old.
Somebody say, number five.
On July the 18th, 1968, Ted drove his car off a bridge on Chappaquiddick Island in Edgerton, Massachusetts, killing 28-year-old Kopechne.
What age? What age? Go ahead.
And she was trapped inside the car. According to Ted, he and his cousin Joe Gargon and friend Paul Macam attempted to save Kopechne. Ted did not report her death until 10 hours after the accident.
Somebody say,
Bartons.
Number six.
The son of Robert and Ethel Kennedy, David Kennedy, died on April the 25th, 1984, on a drug overdose in Palm Beach, Florida. He was 28 years old.
He was?
28 years
old. Somebody say, number seven.
Michael Kennedy, son of Robert and Ethel Kennedy, was killed in a skiing accident in Aspen, Colorado, on New Year's Eve in 1997. He was 39 years old.
Somebody say, number eight.
On July the 16th, 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. died in a plane crash off Martha's Vineyard alongside his wife Caroline Bassett and sister-in-law Lauren Bassett. JFK Jr. was piloting the plane at the time of the crash. The president's son was 38 years old.
Somebody say, number 9.
Kara Kennedy, daughter of Senator Edward M. Kennedy and niece of Robert and JFK, died at 51 of a heart attack on September the 16th, 2011, while working out at a gym in Washington, D.C.
Somebody say, number 10.
The estranged wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Mary Richardson Kennedy, died by suicide on May the 16th, 2012. Her body was found in a barn behind her Bedford, New York property. She was 52 years old and amid a divorce and custody battle at the time of her death.
Somebody say, number 11.
JFK's nephew, the son of Peter Lawford and Patricia Kennedy, died from a heart attack on September the 4th, 2018 in Vancouver, Canada. That is Christopher Kennedy Lawford. He was 63 years old.
Somebody say, number 12.
On August the 1st, 2019, Robert and Ethel's granddaughter, Sarah Kennedy Hill, was found dead at her family's Massachusetts estate, age 22. Her cause of death was an accidental overdose.
Somebody say, number 13.
JFK's granddaughter, Maeve Kennedy Townsend McKean, and her young son, Gideon, went missing according to her husband, David McKean, after a canoeing accident in Chesapeake Bay on April the 2nd, 2020.
Somebody say, now come to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 offers us the cure and the solution to curses. A curse, you can write down, a curse is designed or programmed to disadvantage you in life. Number one. A curse is programmed to cause complications in your life. Three, to deny you of your portion in the land of the living. Four, to cause unnecessary crisis. Five, and interferences in your life. Curse is programmed to cause you to wander in the wilderness of life. Five, foolish errands. And lastly, vain labor. So you work, you labor, but you never celebrate your success nor enjoy the fruit of your labor. For whatever reason, it eludes you. It slips out of your hand. But I pray today on authority that no good thing shall elude you anymore. Henceforth, if you believe it, put your hands together. Say yes.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
So curses can be annulled. Curses can be revoked. They can be repealed and broken on the account of the finished work of the cross and the shedding of his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Let's move on. 2 Kings 21:19-21.
Amon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did.
Underline the word, as his father Manasseh did.
And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idol that his father served, and worshipped them.
So, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, And there is a possibility that if you don't get born again and align yourself with God and serve the Almighty, Talu Kasulant Kefala Kasanta Wasila Kutuliki Palasala, there's the strong possibility that that which influenced your father and the same lifestyle and pattern of your father and your mother will be seen and found in you. And whether you like it or not, you will manifest it without even knowing you are manifesting it, because the subconscious controls and commands the consciousness. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1.
Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites."
So there was a pattern that went on for 3 years in the nation of Israel. For 3 years, they faced drought and famine. They couldn't grow crops. The nation was impoverished. They had an economic challenge and situation. And thank God for leaders and kings who respect and acknowledge the God factor of governance. Thank God for leaders who are humble enough to understand that the governance of country is not just based on economic skill or smartness or brilliance of financial ministers or cabinet ministers, but that there is a factor in governance of nation which is supernatural, divine. And so David, with all of his skill and the depths of Ahithophel the Gibeonite, realized that this kind of situation and pattern that keeps on plaguing this nation, setting us back, we need to make sense of this economic crisis. We need to demystify the mystery behind this economic crisis we can't make sense of. So he inquired of the Lord, and God said, "It's good you came to me, because it will continue to elude you." And God said, "It's a decision taken by Saul for killing the Gibeonites." And that is the implication of the decision of Saul. And that's why we need to pray for leaders. That's why we need to pray for the president and for all that are in authority. Because when the enemy wants to destroy a nation or the citizen of country, what it does is to provoke leadership. To provoke leadership to err. To provoke leadership to make a wrong move or decision. To give him the access and the occasion he needs in order to destroy citizens. That's why we need to pray that our leaders will not err. That they will have the discernment and the wisdom of Almighty God to make right decisions and choices that will create progress and prosperity for all citizens. Put your hands together and give God praise. 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1.
And Satan stood up against Israel.
Underline the fact that he stood up against Israel and not the leader.
And he provoked David to number Israel.
His agenda was not David, it was the people. And the only way he could gain access to kill, wipe out, and destroy the citizens was to provoke the king and the leader to err, to make a wrong decision. And by doing that, he gave him access. Ladies and gentlemen, after lunch, you can sit there and read through, because time won't allow me. 70,000 citizens of the state of Israel died in a day. The king was alive, but the citizens died, because the leader made a wrong decision. We can't afford not to pray for our leaders. It's suicidal. We can't afford not to uphold them in prayer. It's an error. Because by holding back and not praying for leaders, irrespective of your political persuasion or beliefs, you are erring and giving authorizations to the powers of the dark kingdom to do as they please. Where our leaders are concerned, we can't afford not to pray for leadership. Put your hands together, somebody. He took a stand against Israel. I pray that whatever stand the powers of the dark kingdom has taken against our nation and our economy, that the blood of Jesus will intervene against it. That the blood of Jesus will speak right now. Come on, put your hands together. Say something. Ezekiel 16, 47 and 45. Ezekiel 16.
From 44, please.
44.
Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is a mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children.
Loveth is a very powerful word here. As we go ahead in our Bible studies, you'll see what it simply means is there are women who, for whatever reason, hate their husband and hate their children, despise their husbands, and despise their own children for whatever reason. And it's all in the Bible. As we go ahead, you'll see. And there are men also who, for whatever reason, are jealous of their wives and despise their wives and will fight their wife because she seems to be more successful than them, to the point where they hate their wives and to the point where they will kill their own wife. And records over the years makes it clear where you see a man kill his wife, kill his children. These are patterns. When you look at the bloodline, you will see that such things do exist in the bloodline. And refusing to address it and to deal with it may allow history to repeat itself on a higher plane. Please go ahead.
And thou art the sister of thy sisters.
Sister of thy sisters. What is he trying to establish? You will see a particular pattern. So I say to young men, before you marry a woman, it doesn't matter how pretty, intelligent, brilliant she might be. Don't marry what you are seeing. Investigate the background of the woman. Find out where is she from. Who is the mother? Who are her sisters? Her aunties? Because you see a particular pattern prevailing in that bloodline. Medulla ikusala. Selanda kusan kefalun wasali adala. I pray that you will live by illumination, by revelation, and not by sense knowledge. I feel very sad for those of you who just live by logic, and you live by your physical senses, and you ignore spiritual senses. Something is wrong with you, because life is more than logic. Life is more than physical skill. Life is more than what the mind can think and imagine, and it's more than what these natural eyes can see. I'm telling you. I've been around for a little bit. This year I've been preaching for 49 years. I've known Bishop Nyaku for 48 years. So I've seen a little bit. And for those of you who ignore spiritual things, and you think you can make sense of everything by knowledge, by philosophy, by academic capabilities, you are to be pitied among all men. Make no mistakes. The unseen controls the natural. Make no mistakes. What you don't see rules what you see. Kadula kisala. Eh, silaku falamasa. Masunda kisala. Go ahead.
Thou art the sister of thy sisters.
Yes, sir.
Which loved their husbands and their children.
That's the word.
Your mother was an Hittite.
You see, when he said your mother was a Hittite, we'll talk about what happens when your mother is a Hittite. Tell somebody, do you know that you, your mother is a Hittite? Tell somebody, you, your mother is a Hittite. And we will show you through our Wednesday Bible studies. You will see what happened if your mother is a Hittite, even if you are born again and you are not aware of these things and don't address them, you can be born again speaking in tongues and still be influenced with that spirit of a Hittite.
And your father, an Amorite.
An Amorite. If your father is an Amorite, there's something that can influence your behavior patterns. It's not every behavior of people you see that is natural. I'm telling you. I've walked around a little bit, and I've seen certain patterns, certain behavior patterns, and I've concluded that this is not natural. It's demonic. There's something behind it. Kubala Salah. Certain unnecessary angers, bitterness, unforgiveness of the highest order. They'll never forgive. They will hold on to something done to them. Forever, they keep talking about it. They never let it go. It's a demon. It's a demon. It's something that wakes them to act that way so that their own blessing will elude them. Because they are going against the very principles of God. And you can't violate the principles of the word and cry and pray and think things will work for you. It won't work. You can't be in violation of the law and expect the same law to defend you. It doesn't work that way. Go ahead, Bishop. We finish. I want us to look at another pattern. Look at another pattern. The Abrahamic family. The Abrahamic family. Genesis 12 and 13.
Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee.
This was a particular problem here. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. He's a father of faith. He walked with God. He knew God. And we are all blessed. All major three religions of this world came out of the loins of Abraham. The guy was heavy. The dude was no joke. But he had a problem of fear. The fear of dying prematurely. And as a result of that fear, a lying spirit stepped in. And it became another pattern. Look at verse 11. Bishop, I think we should go to verse 11.
And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman.
Underline the word fair woman. Go ahead.
To look upon. Verse 12. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Therefore verse 13. I pray thee, say them that thou art my sister. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake and for my soul, and my soul shall live because of thee.
So there was a particular pattern here, fear, and out of fear came a lying tongue or a lying spirit. Faith in God, blessed, but afraid. Not just afraid, a lying tongue. Genesis 20 and verse 2.
And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
Somebody say patterns. Let me hear you. Say patterns. Genesis 26, verse 6 and 7.
And Isaac went to Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon.
Same problem. Say, like father, father. Like son. Say, like mother, father. Like daughter. Everybody say, patterns. Genesis 27:19.
And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me.
So here was the third generation lying, like the first generation, like the second generation. Same parents. Somebody say parents. Genesis 37, 31 to 33.
And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces."
So this is fourth generation lying, like the first, the second, the third. Fourth generation, Jacob lied and said, "I'm Esau." And now Jacob's kids are also lying to their father that their father's son Joseph is dead when he was still alive. Genesis 12 and 11. Look at something.
And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman."
So that was the problem. These particular men from this particular bloodline had a particular liking for a particular type and kind of women. So it doesn't matter how pretty and beautiful and anointed and good you are and full of the Holy Ghost. If you don't fall into that category and you don't have that particular looks or whatever you may call it, trying to be careful of what I say, they will not settle with you. And that's why Solomon went for 700 wives. 700. 300 concubines. Because they could not satisfy his sexual drive and passion. They had to have some kind of an anointing or some kind of a spicy. They got to have some kind of a spicy and some perfume from Egypt. And if you don't have it, it doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues and prophesy and know scripture, they will still not be satisfied with you. They have this sexual drive that nothing could satisfy. That was the same problem Samson had. Samson contacted a woman in Tamar. He shouldn't have gone in with her. And she injected him with a particular sex virus. And after that, she was not satisfied. She didn't want the women from the state of Israel. And the father and mother said, "What is it about this Delilah and strange women that you are attracted to?" And she said to the father, "She satisfies me well. Get her for me." From there, she went for a prostitute, slept with the prostitute all night long, and was surrounded by enemies to kill him. He got out of that situation, took the pillars of the gate, threw it away on the hill and ran away and escaped. And he thought that he could always get away with it. Every day for thief man, one day for God. The fact that you are getting away, don't mean that you will get away forever. One of these days, it will catch up with you. For being not deceived, God is not mocked. What thing soever a man soweth, that he shall reap. One of these days. From the prostitute, he went to a hired assassin by the name of Delilah. Tell somebody, Delilah is looking for you. Delilah is not a woman or a man. Delilah is a spirit. Delilah is a seducing spirit. So it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, it can seduce you if you haven't dealt with your passion. And Samson was anointed. Spirit of God came upon him. He was mighty, but he had this weakness for strange women. He didn't like good women. He had something for strange women. Women who do some strange things to men. You are looking at me? He left the prostitute in Gaza and went down. He went where? Sorry. The valley of Sorry. And there he found a woman by the name of Delilah. Hey! Somebody say, hey! Delilah is a seducing spirit. And whether you are a man or a woman, it can seduce you. It doesn't matter how anointed and gifted you are and what position you stand in, it can seduce you. And it went after something. And the Bible says, there came a time, Kudala Kasi, Silanda Kusant, Kafala, Salan, Wahasalun, Dukimile Salun. It came to a time when something said, I will rise up, I will shake myself like always, and deal with the enemy. And the Bible said at this time, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Because he got away with it. You see, the difference between God and the devil is, the devil, he does it immediately. But God will give you a long rope to give you time to change your mind and repent. And the fact that he's giving you a long rope and you keep getting away, don't mean you always get away. One of these days, the Lord may depart from you. Shake yourself. And you are all alone in the hands of your enemy. I pray that you will escape that day. I pray that you will be wise. And you won't wait till when it's too late. Put your hands together. Give me Genesis 12:14.
And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair.
This was not Abraham saying, you are fair. This is the Egyptians confirming. The Egyptians, they were confirming it. That she is altogether the kind and the type we like and we want. So it confirmed Abraham's fears and concerns. And he realized that even my enemies knows my challenge. I better escape her before I die. This woman, I don't know her. She's my sister. Genesis 24:15-16.
And it came to pass, before she had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look
upon. The damsel was
very fair to look
upon. This is Rebekah. And this was the woman Isaac married. He married one just like the father's wife. I got a bunny. Go ahead.
And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up.
Genesis 29:17.
Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
Same word. Beautiful means fair. Same thing. Rachel. Third generation. Jacob saw Rachel. She looked just like his father's wife and the mother. And wanted Rachel, not Leah, worked for 14 years. Was it 14? Yeah, 14 years to have Rachel. What makes a man sacrifice 14 years for a woman? Hey! Somebody say, Yehovah. He was willing to sacrifice everything for a woman. Mudulu kusalamada, kadun daki sole. Hey! Don't lose everything for a woman. Oh. And don't lose everything for a man. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2.
And it came to pass in the evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon.
Ask somebody, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? And ask somebody, what are you looking at? You, what are you looking at? What is it, that you are looking at? King David, a prophet, a priest, a king, a man after God's own heart, he saw a fair woman to look upon. And from that height, hear me, look at me. It doesn't matter whether you're a prophet, a bishop, an archbishop, a priest, a man after God's heart, the devil can show you something. And he will always show you something you have need of. He will show you something you like. Something you can't resist. If you depend on the natural senses, you can't resist it. Because he knows exactly what you like. So he will show you something. He will make you smell a certain perfume. The brother passes. Brother, what kind of perfume are you wearing? Sister, what is the name of your perfume? Wacho. You have been ensnared. Don't ask the name of the perfume. Keep walking. Keep walking. Tell somebody, keep walking. And when you move away from the brother or the sister, say in the name of Jesus, I block the impact of this perfume. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. That is not the time to do Takashi. That's not the time to start quoting scripture. No weapon from against me shall prosper. And you are still smelling it. No weapon from against me shall prosper. What is the name of your perfume? No weapon from it will prosper. First Kings 11:3.
And he, that is Solomon, had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart.
You see, this is where the problem is. Solomon had a particular passion for a particular kind and type of women. And he wasn't satisfied with 700 wives, 300 concubines. The thing was still, it was a virus. Driving the man. He couldn't settle. He tried up to 1,000. And you see, this was the danger. The Bible said, the heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord because of the strange women. The heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord. The heart of Solomon began to depart from the Lord. Then the fourth time, the Bible said, and the heart of Solomon departed from the Lord. Eventually, she will take your heart away. He will take your, eventually. And you say, I'm trying to get him born again. Get what born again? He will get you rather born again. He will born again you. You. I'm leading her to Christ. Leading what to Christ? She will lead you to the devil. Be not equal to you. Oh, he's such a nice person. I'm just trying to be his friend and her friend to get them. I invited him to church. They'll come to church. Yeah, they'll come to church. When they come to, they are not hearing anything I'm preaching. They are waiting for you. They will ambush you. Yeah. As soon as they get whatever they want, when you say, let's go, say, what church? All this church and Bible. No, leave me alone, girl. Leave me alone, boy. Don't be fooled.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877-361-5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today. And may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.